Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark by Laurie Wyman and starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. There comes a morning in every man's life when he's awakened by a prolonged and spine-chilling high-pitched scream, which denotes the vacuum cleaner is going full blast on the landing. And when Mrs. Ramona Pobig demeans herself by actually doing housework, it can only mean one of her family is coming to stay, and Captain Povey must immediately parade for marital inspection.
Well, my love, how do I look? Will I do?
No, Henry Povey, almost certainly will not do. Just look at you.
How can I, my love? I'm the one that's standing inside me.
Henry Povey, your sartorial imperfection is not a laughing matter. I'm not having Madura's sister's boy coming here and seeing you in that disgusting state. Pull yourself together and don't slouch. Head up, shoulders back, chest out, abdomen in, knees braced, heels together, toes at an angle of 45 degrees and thumbs in line with the seams of your nether garments.
There, my love. What are you going to use me for? Poking the fire?
Silence! Now then, let's have a look at you. Well, you'll just have to do. Stay exactly like that and don't move until Cuthbert arrives.
I've been meaning to ask, my love, why am I being allowed to meet Cuthbert this time?
Well, on this occasion, you might just be useful. Major's sister is considering allowing the Navy to have the benefit of Cuthbert's services.
Cuthbert? In the Navy? Oh, good grief!
Stand still! Now, this being so, it may be necessary for you to chat up some of your little sailor friends and arrange a door.
But I can't possibly...
Silence! That'll be Cuthbert. Quite still now while Ramona opens her front door.
Hello, Aunt Ramona. The mater sends her love.
How typical of her. Come in, Cuthbert, dear.
Thanks awfully. I was just... Oh, I say, what fun. You've got a new hat, Sam.
It's me, actually. Uncle Henry.
Uncle Henry? Oh, you're the Povey chap. Aren't you married, I suppose?
Madura's sister tells me you're considering joining the Navy, Cuthbert, dear.
Yes. It was the mater's idea, actually. She says I've got the figure for the uniform. She thinks I'd fit it off rather well.
Look a right twit.
You said something, Henry?
Oh, I said he should get one that's the right fit.
Of course. Of course. So I thought I'd pop down and give it a trial for a couple of days. You know the sort of thing. Take a trip out in one of those boat things they have. See what the accommodation and the cuisine are like and all that.
But you can't try the Navy out for a couple of days.
Nonsense, Henry. Of course he can. Permission to use the telephone and ring up the Admiral immediately.
The Admiral? Oh, very well, my love, but I don't know what he's going to say.
Well, don't let him say anything. Merely inform him that your dear wife, Ramona, requires it. Now, all of you go into the front retiring room and make the call whilst I give dear Cuthbert his delicious Ramona cooked tea. Now, come along, Cuthbert, dear.
No, after you, Auntie. Ladies first.
Now, you hear that, Henry? Ladies first. There's an example of my family's good manners for you.
And Cuthbert's a slimy little toad, so yah-boo, and that's an example of mine.
Better make this call, I suppose. I'm going to be the laughing stock of Portsmouth. I know I am.
Admiral here, and if it's about your blasted account, there'll be a check in the post tomorrow.
Oh, no. No, 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 sir. It's me, Captain Povey, sir.
Povey? Creeping Ivy Povey. Don't ever do that again. I thought it was me off license.
I'm terribly sorry to disturb you at this hour, sir.
That's right, you will be.
But it's a very urgent matter, sir.
Is it? Well, what have you done? Declared war on somebody?
Well, not exactly, sir, but I think my dear wife's sister has declared it on us.
Povey, what are you bleating about?
Well, it's like this, sir. She wants her son Cuthbert to join the Navy.
Well, does she now? With a name like that, it'll probably do him good. In fact, it's probably his only hope. Right, well, get on with it. Sign him on.
But you don't understand, sir. He wants a couple of days to see if he likes it first.
Oh, bright sort of chap, is he? Well, get rid of him quick. Bung him on a ship, sail him round the harbour until he's seasick, and then sling him out.
Bung him on a ship, sir, but you haven't seen Cuthbert. I wouldn't wish that horrible, sneaky little snob on my own worst enemy. He's the most...
Oh, I don't know.
Can I choose which ship I send him on, sir?
Well, of course you can. Now, don't waste my time with blasted details. Ring off. The grog's going flat and I'm trying to watch the telly.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Cuthbert will go for a trip aboard HMS Troutbridge in the morning.
And the best of British to a lot of the fools. Goodbye.
Come in.
Morning, Mr. Money-Sid.
Morning, Fitz. Morning. Two letters for you, Mr. Money-Sid. Both bills, and I'd pay the one underneath if I were you. You needn't bother about the other one. It wasn't posted until 6:15 last night in Crouch End, so you can swear blind you didn't get it until tomorrow.
Thanks very much.
Not at all, sir. Then there's two for the Padre, but he didn't bother to open them because they're only circulars and he wouldn't want what they're offering anyway.
Who's the parcel for?
The parcel, that's for you, sir. It measures 9 inches by 6 inches by 1.5, weighs 2 pounds, 3¾ ounces, it don't rattle, clink, or clank. It don't bend. And it's not fragile because I dropped it and it still doesn't rattle, clink, or clank.
Yes, well, of course, now we know why the mail is so late, don't we? It's had to be cleared through Pertwee's security check first.
Do you think I can have my parcel now, Chief?
Yes, certainly, sir. Unless you'd like me to open it for you. I've got my penknife at the ready.
Thank you, Pertwee. I know what it is. It's a book I sent for. And I wrote off for it last week.
That's funny. I never saw that letter go out.
I posted it myself.
Oh. What's the matter?
It's the wrong book.
How wrong?
Quite a way, actually. In my letter, I said I wanted a book on places of interest because I was touring around France for my holiday.
Well, what did they send?
A book on cases of interest to be found in advanced psychology.
Yes, well, of course, your handwriting was never your strong point, was it?
Well, what am I going to do with it? It'll cost me a fortune to post it back.
No, it won't, sir. No. You just readdress it, put 4 little square glue marks in the top right-hand corner and drop it in the box. They'll think the stamps must have fallen off.
Hello, you chaps. Here you all are, then. I was beginning to think I was the only officer on board Troutbridge. This is Troutbridge, isn't it?
Yes, sir. And you're Commander Bell, sir, and you're the captain, sir.
Am I really? Well, you know about these things, of course. I've been wandering about for hours, you know. Never thought you'd be in here. I thought you'd all be tucked away in the wardroom. This is the wardroom, isn't it? Still, nice to see some friendly faces at last. You are friendly, I take it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, well, it won't last long. Not when you hear what I've got to say. My word, what a mess. It's going to be absolutely ghastly. You're fed up already, aren't you?
Fed up about what, sir?
Oh, didn't I tell you? That's odd. That's what I came in here for. Captain Povey just phoned up. Apparently old Povey's bringing some relative of his aboard and wants us to take him for a bit of a trip. You know the form. Show him round the ship, quick run out and back. Then stand by for court-martial because you let him fall in the drink, eh?
Oh, blimey.
You've done it before, have you? Yeah. Yes, sir, by the way. Of course, I was commanding a fast patrol boat in those days. My word, what a trip. Straight out of the harbour at 45 knots and the throttle lever stuck. They can't half go, you know. 3 tight turns around the lighthouse. Well, a bit too tight, actually. After we left, the beam stayed still and the lighthouse spun around. Then off we went again. Vroom! Straight out to sea and smack bang through a fishing fleet. My word, what a mess. Who said there were no flying fish in the channel? There were. Have you ever seen a 20-pound cod airborne? It's an impressive sight, you know. They look so surprised. Well, the one that met me head-on did. For an hour afterwards, all the fishermen were trying to chase their catch with butterfly nets and a shotgun.
Well, say, it certainly sounds as if your passenger had an eventful trip.
Well, no, he didn't, O'Malley, as a matter of fact. It wasn't until we finally got back I realised he wasn't aboard. Never had been, actually. I'd driven off in the wrong boat.
Blimey, even I've never done that.
Not yet.
There you are. And what's all this? A late breakfast, or have you finished for the day?
Both, actually, sir. I mean, it's quite all right, sir. Now, I've just finished eating my newspaper and reading my egg. I'm papering my egg and reading my nose. Pegging my shoes, feeding my... Would you like to speak to somebody else, sir?
I most certainly would. In fact, I'd rather speak to anybody else, Mr. Finch.
I can see what Aunt Ramona means about your manners, Povey. It's about time you introduced these people to me.
Yes, of course. This is Cuthbert, my nephew. On my wife's side, you understand. Now, Cuthbert, this is...
Don't bother. I shan't be wanting to mix with the staff, anyway.
No, I suppose you don't, Cuthbert.
There's no need to be insolent. Purvey, would you inform these sailor fellows that I am to be addressed as Mr. Spitz?
Yes, of course, Mr. Spitz. Cuthbert.
Good. Well, while you're giving them Aunt Ramona's orders, I'm going upstairs for some fresh air. Tell one of these men to fetch me a deck chair and put it out on the sun deck, will you? I shall take China tea and a sweet biscuit in half an hour.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chief.
Neither could I.
Yes, all right, gentlemen. I know what you're all thinking.
You don't know what I'm thinking of, what? Well, let's face it, who does? Not even me half the time. And I'm the one that's thinking it. I'll tell you one thing, though. Someone around here is going to come to a sticky end before long.
I think it's you, actually, sir, because you already have. You're sitting in the marmalade.
Am I really? Thought the edge of the table was a bit soft when I perched on it. Never mind, butter a bit of toast and slap it on as a patch and no one will notice. I'd better go and sit in my bath till it soaks off. Of course, if that doesn't work, I'll end up with a cake of marmalade soap stuck to me. I'll see you later, anyway. If anyone wants me, I'll be sitting on the galley stove getting dry. Good morning,
sir.
Is it really? I thought it was getting dark.
Captain Povey, sir, just what is all this about?
I've already explained it once over the phone to Commander Bell.
Yes, sir, but that doesn't always help us. Phone messages are a bit inclined to stop dead when they get to him.
Yes, I imagine they do. Well, briefly, my dear wife Ramona has ordered, requested, that Cuthbert shall be given 2 days at sea to decide whether he likes the life well enough to join the Navy.
Lummy, that makes us a sort of free sample.
Precisely. He'll be taking a commission, of course.
Him? What, that? An ossifer in the senior service?
Oh, permission to buy myself out at once, sir. I can give you 10 bob down and the rest over forever.
Mm. It's a tempting offer, Pertwee, but I must reluctantly refuse. Now then, gentlemen, you're put to sea just as soon as I go ashore. And for the next 48 hours, I am placing Cuthbert in your care. And during that time, you will spare no effort to show him exactly what life in the senior service is like.
Stoney, you know what Honorable Cuthbert is? He's a rude, crude prude. In fact, for the last 24 hours, he couldn't have been a ruder, cruder prude.
Agreed. Right. Now, we'll have one more try. Ready, Pertwee?
And willing, sir.
Left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit.
Right hand down a bit, sir. Left hand down a bit.
Right
hand down a bit.
Right hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit. And right hand down a bit.
Right hand down a bit.
And left hand down a bit.
It's no good, you know. No matter how much you swing the ship about, you won't make Cuthbert feel seasick.
We weren't trying to make him feel seasick, sir. We were trying to make him fall off.
And we didn't mind which side.
Bridge, number one speaking.
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein shot in. Just thought you'd like to know, our passenger has just told me that when we get back, he's going to report the lot of you for drunken driving.
Oh.
So if you want legal advice, you couldn't do better than engage my Uncle Edwin, a solicitor and ironmonger. I happen to know he's free at the moment.
Now, Goldstein...
Well, not exactly free. He only charges 50 guineas, in advance, of course. Provided you plead guilty so he doesn't have to go to court.
Of all the...
Never mind about suing, sir. Concentrate on doing.
Doing what?
Doing Cuthbert Honorable Spinks. If ever a detestable drip deserved a dirty great dollop of diabolical old dodgy doodah to drop on him for a great eight, he does, don't he?
Yes, he do. Did you hear what he said when he took over Commander Bell's cabin?
No.
He said, this will do for the bedroom. Where's the rest of the suite, and which bell do I press for room service?
I wonder if old Thunderguts would miss him.
Don't be ridiculous. That's a terrible thing to say.
What had you in mind?
It occurred to me, as he wouldn't fall off when we went from side to side, we might try a bit of back to front.
Hey?
Well, if we get Troutbridge going full speed ahead, then stop dead... Plot-faced Cuthbert might keep on going.
Oh, really? We couldn't possibly do that.
Of course not. It's out of the question.
Absolutely.
Pull air both, Chief.
Pull air both with the utmost gravity and duty, sir.
What's happening? Where's Cuthbert now?
Oh, we caught him off balance, and he's tottering backwards at a fine turn of speed towards the stars.
Hey, what's going on? Stop it! Stop it, Anthony!
Stop engines and full of starn boats.
Stop engines, full of starn boats, it is, sir. And good luck to all who sail off us.
Has it worked?
Like a charm, sir. He bounced off the starn rail, and now he's belting full tilt for the bows.
Lummy, he didn't half go, didn't he?
Yeah, I'll say he did, sir. He went all right, but not far enough. He's still on board.
Where? I can't see him.
No, you wouldn't, sir. He looks like a part of the ship now. The figurehead.
What?
He's spread eagle flat against the flagpole.
Oh, nasty.
Oh, ready. Stop engines, Chief. Then slow ahead both.
Stop engines, then slow ahead both, it is, sir.
Wasn't that graceful?
What?
The way he slid down the flagpole and sat on the deck.
Yes, sir, just like a stuffed dummy with all the sawdust running out.
Yes. Of course, I may have a suspicious mind, but I have a feeling that once that dummy gets its breath back, it's going to be stuffier than ever.
Right, Johnson.
What?
Dump those buckets down here.
Certainly.
Don't rattle them. Don't rattle them, you great balloon-based bumpkin. Look, we don't want to wake Honorable Cuthbert up yet.
Well, you woke me up and I'm not happy. I'm not, you know. Well, you can see for yourself, can't you? Able Seaman Johnson's not happy. Disturb me in the middle of me 8 hours kip and I look all wan next day.
Yeah, well, you'll cop a right want tonight if you don't shut up.
That'll make me even unhappier, and I'm not happy now. I want to know why I'm standing outside Commander Bell's cabin with 4 buckets of water.
Because my little rotund podge. Inside Commander Bell's cabin, Honorable Cuthbert is peaceably a kip. And we are about to teach him the first rule of the sea.
What's that?
How to abandon ship.
Yeah, well, he ought to know how to. Good night. Let me know how the lesson went, won't you?
Come back here.
I'd rather not, but as you insist, I will. Now, what happens then, now?
Well, first of all, we bung this wedge in the door like this, see? There, like that. See, so it won't open.
Yeah.
Then in a moment, you can start pouring all those buckets of water under the crack at the bottom of the door. And while you're doing that, I'll shout out, abandon ship! Abandon ship! She's going down like a stoon! At the top of my voice.
No, I get it. He'll see all the water coming in under the door, find it won't open, and he'll dive out the porthole.
Exactly.
You're a rotten.
Yes, I know, but Honorable Cuthbert is rotten, huh?
Granted. But you can't leave him to swim all the way back to Pompey, can you?
Oh, I'm not going to. I've got the sea boat standing by to pick him up. Eventually. Now, all I want to do is teach him a lesson, you see? You'll get a richly deserved dunking in the Aesy Brainy. And what with that and being flattened against the flagpole, you're putting off joining the Navy forever.
I wish someone had done that to me before I joined.
Look, come on, shut up and start tipping the first bucket.
Righto. Bye-bye, water. Have a nice soak on the carpet.
Right, go on. Another second one. Yeah. Lovely, lovely. Now, look, keep pouring the others while Johnsy does his nut.
Abandon ship! Abandon ship, lads! Take the boots, lads! We've been owed in 69 places, lads. Get out while you can, lads. Abandon ship, lads.
The oxy working like a charm. Go slosh some more water under the door, make him get his feet wet.
Right, damp touches coming up.
Abandon ship, lads. Over the side and swim for it, lads. Tramp overboard while there's still time.
All gone. Well done, Fatso. I'm proud of you.
Hey, look. Do we have to have all this noise in the middle of the night?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we just... Oh, blimey, it's him.
What?
Now, look here. Guess what is going on?
Yeah, well, that's what I'd like to know, Mr. Spinks. I mean, if you're out here, who do... Who just went out of the... Who was in command of Bell's, Cappy?
Oh, don't ask fatuous questions, you stupid naval oaf. Commander Bell, of course.
But I thought you were in there.
I've been sleeping in the sick bay, trying to recuperate after my accident. Now, kindly remove yourselves and don't disturb me again.
I... in the eyes.
This way, Mrs. Povey, Captain Povey, sir. Nice to have you aboard.
After you, Ramona, my love.
Good boy, Headman. We're learning at last. Cuthbert's excellent example is beginning to benefit.
Do come in, Mrs. Povey.
Oh, hello, Aunt Ramona.
Morning, Povey.
And have you had an interesting boat trip, Cuthbert, dear?
It's been absolutely gah.
For everyone.
Oh, good.
What?
Gracious.
Quiet, Headman. All complaints will be dealt with by Ramona. Right. Far away, Cuthbert, dear.
Well, to start with, my accommodation was inadequate. The food was inferior. The staff was insolent. The ship was inefficient. The weather was inclement. And the trip was intolerable.
And he was insufferable.
Yes, quite. So you've decided against joining the Navy, Cuthbert?
On the contrary, I decided I'm going to.
What?
After what I've seen in these 2 days, I consider it my duty. It's high time more young, intelligent people like myself took a hand and put the service to rights.
No good.
What? Grief.
How right you are, Cuthbert, dear. Stand for no nonsense at any level. Come along, Henry. We'll take Cuthbert straight over to the Admiral's office and let him choose which rank he'd like to start with.
But he can't do that, my love. He's got to fill in the form applying for his commission first.
Oh, that's all taken care of. I had one of those petty officer fellows do the donkey work and fill in the form thing. I've given him all the details. He's going to bring it along when it's ready for me to sign. Volunteered to do it for me, actually. In fact, he absolutely insisted.
Did he now?
The rotten traitor.
Excuse me, madam and gents, all assembled.
What is it, Quisling?
Well, it's this application form for Mr. Spencer. It just requires his moniker on the bottom and he's as good as in. Sign there, if you please, sir.
Oh, if I must, but all this paperwork is so tiring.
Yes, sir. Lovely, sir. Lovely. And if I may make so bold, a very fine addition to the Royal Navy you are.
He's gone off his think box.
Come along, Henry. Pick up that form and forward march to the Admiral's office.
Don't worry about the form, madam. I'll deliver it to the proper quarters personally. Just to be on the safe side.
Oh, yes, it might be as well. This way. Now follow me.
No, after you, Aunt Ramona.
Just coming, my love.
Right.
Now then.
Gents, please. All is not yet lost. Ah, again, Mr. Phillips. Now, put that chair down until you've heard my side of it.
We're listening, Chief. We're listening, and it had better be good.
You care to have a look at this here application form, what Honorable Cuthbert has just signed? You'll notice, sir, that it's, an oh, what a shame, and how ever did that happen?
What?
Well, sir, in me haste, sir, I must have inadvertently grabbed the wrong form from the office. So if you take a closer butcher's at this form, you'll note that, Mr. Honorable Cuthbert has just signed himself on for 21 years... as an ordinary writing. Sir.
It'll kill him.
I wonder what Captain Povey's going to say when he finds out.
Well, if there's any justice, sir, he'll give us a medal for services rendered beyond the call of duty.
You're probably right. Carry on, Chief. Bung that form in at the double.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray and John Pertwee have been recruiting for The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Mrs. Povey was Heather Chasen, Commander Bell was Ronnie Barker, Taffy Goldstein was Tenny Elevens, and Honorable Cuthbert was played by Michael Bates. The show was produced for the BBC by Alistair Scott Johnson.